Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtables here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, sitting in with mothers and daughters from around the world. It's a great day to be alive, mothers and daughters. It's a great day, you know, just to look out and see the world, see the creations and all the things that God created. If you just stop and think for a moment, it will just literally blow your mind to think of all the creatures. If you look at the creatures under the sea and in the air and on the land, and the intricate detail of the design, the color, sometimes I say, God, oh my God, I mean, really? Everything created in 6 days from a little ant. And I'm sure there's something smaller than an ant that we probably, I don't know about. But you know what I'm saying? It's just, well, a gnat. I'm telling you, and everything has its own design, its own life. It's breathing. It's getting around. It is moving. It has a plan and a purpose. Now, when you think about that and think about He decided to create man and woman above all things. Can you imagine what we have the capabilities of? Things that we are not even using, don't even have a clue as to who we really, really are. Because if we did, we would create magnificent things. Below the earth, above the earth, and on the earth. But we believe times are stuck. Can't get past what we were taught, what we read, not knowing that inside all things are possible. All means all. All means all. But anyway, that's not the topic for today, but that's what hit my spirit. Go in here this morning and see. Got my co-hosts here, Deborah Tyler and Cynthia Oliver, who's first here. Deborah, how are you?
Good morning. Good morning, audience. Good morning. Dr. B, good morning. Cynthia, all is well. Praise the Lord.
Amen, amen, amen. Let's get Cynthia in here. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning. Good morning, ladies. How are you guys? And obviously, you're sounding absolutely fabulous, understanding that, you know, we were born on purpose for a purpose. And so, hey, all is well. When you can tap into that purpose, that's when life happens.
Mm-hmm. But when you tap into it, it's going to be easy.
Oh, sugar. It is not. But it's doable with Christ. All things are possible with Christ. So that's the missing piece in most of our lives, unfortunately.
That faith. Gotta believe. We can do it. Like the little engine said, trying to get up the hill. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it.
Yeah.
As I keep going up. All right. This morning, Cynthia, would you give us a prayer?
I certainly will. Dear Father, we come boldly before your throne just saying thank you. For today, Father God, we just say thank you. For Father God, we know and we realize that your goodness and mercies is everything that we need. Your goodness and your mercy is what keeps us going when we discover our purpose. Your goodness and mercy says we can and we go for it. And so we thank you, Father God, for our fearless leader, Dr. Fletcher and Deborah and myself, that we have answered the call. And because we have answered the call, we are doing everything that we think we hear that the Father will have of us. And we have to constantly continue to say, we only do what the Father tells us to do. We only say what he tells us to say. And we only go where he tells us to go. And we pray, Father God, that something will be said today that will give hope to those listeners that have not found their purpose, knowing that they can find their purpose in you. And once they tap into their purpose, that they will want and have a desire to serve you through our Lord and Savior. But Father, first they have to accept him. And so we pray that they will accept our Lord and Savior. It's a simple prayer. They simply choose to believe, repent, and start to walk in the ammunition of our Lord and Savior. It's really just that simple. And Father God, we thank you that you made it simple. It's not complicated. And we pray, Father God, that religious thought, it is the principles of your word, that word religion come in. And we pray that understanding will be gotten today, that they don't have to be religious, but have a faith. And we just thank you, Father God, that we got the message and we received the good news and we know the difference between principles and faith. And so with that, Father God, we just say thank you for this day. Give us listening ears to hear and a heart to receive. We thank you for your goodness and mercy all week long and bringing us yet again to be able to participate in this radio show. And so, Father God, we ask that you bless our listeners one by one, name by name. And this, Father God, we are so grateful that we were able to tap into the purpose for which you called us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Woo. Thank you, Lord. What's going on? Deborah, how was your week?
My week was busy. It went by really fast, I tell you. I was just spinning around on rollerblades. Went by really fast, and when it was Friday, you know, I seemed like I get a extra ounce of energy for the weekend to do what? I don't know, sit on the couch for 2 days, but praise the Lord. I made it through.
Amen.
You know, everybody sits back. They want that weekend. You know, when I used to work for someone else, I'm telling you, it was all that I could do past Wednesday. Friday, you get this energy, and Saturday and Sunday go by so fast. By 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, I stopped worrying about Monday morning. Oh, Lord, got to go back to work. So, I'm telling you, now, since I've been working for myself, days just run into each other. But, you know, we always want to be somewhere where we're not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the way it is, you know. We're just programmed, living for the next moment. Cynthia, how was your weekend?
My weekend was productive. It was productive.
I mean,
it was
week.
Challenging. Can you hear me?
Yes, I meant to say.
Can you hear me? I said my week was productive. It was good.
Mm-hmm.
I it was challenging at times, but it was good. I have no complaints, and just trusting God in it all. It was good. Thank you. And how about yours?
Well, my week was interesting. Can't complain. Went to the doctor and eye doctor. Everything good with my eyes, and praise the Lord. Got busy, and I discovered what I didn't know, what the enemy was messing with me with on it was a drop that was a dilating drop. So the enemy tried to make me think something was wrong with my eyes. Because every time I put that drop in, I was like, well, what in the world? Eyes are getting blurry. And so when I went to the doctor, because I asked the Holy Spirit, I said, what in the world is going on? I didn't know that the eye drop was a dilating drop. And so when I got to the doctor, the young lady was telling me when I told her that, I said, well, sometimes, you know, it's clearing and sometimes it gets a little blurry. And she explained to me, she said, well, that drop is a dilating drop. And all of a sudden, something lifted off of my shoulder. I became free and light. And I'm telling you, I hit the ground running when I came back. I said, okay, you done played with me and played with me and played with me. I have accomplished so much this week. It's simple.
It's all about that knowledge, Dr. B. You gained the knowledge you needed. And now you know that it's only a trick of the enemy.
Yeah, try to play with you. And I'm thinking I'm doing this every 4 hours, so every time I think I'm going straight, then this happened. Oh, okay, I got you. I see what you're doing. And just went on about my business and got my work done. We accomplished a whole lot of stuff this week. I am just so amazed and thanking God for the way he's really he's spoken to people. And you know, because I've just been praying. I made up my mind since we had that, not the last meeting, the meeting before, since we had that meeting, and I just kind of released everything and said, you know what, now go deal with it. Then I saw a shift and a movement, because then I was blocking the movement with what I thought I wanted, my desires and my time frame and why this didn't happen, da, 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 da. You know, just moved. And then I saw the shift. And I started praying for people. I have a list of people that I've just been sending love, peace, you know, and prosperity and joy to these people that I know that I'm trying to figure out how to say this, but I feel like they have some misunderstandings or whatever about some things. And so I said, you know what, the same thing that I tell my clients, and I've done this before, I'm going to do this. So I have seen a turnaround in some individuals. I mean, turnaround. One person called, repent, and asked me to forgive them, and, you know, and just, you know, just, I'm just like, wow, that's what I know would happen. So I got a few more on my list. He'll try to beat you up with past conversations and actions and things of that nature. But audience, mothers and daughters, I'm not here to tell you. You just say their name, and then you bless them. And you bless them every day. Whatever you want, you say to that person, you bless that person, you bless that thing, it will surely appear. The Holy Spirit will manifest it. The Holy Spirit will handle it. And that's what I've seen all week long. So that's my week. Yeah, that's my week. It's been good.
Since you mentioned eyes, I want to make y'all laugh for a second before we go into the segment. A couple of weeks ago, I was in Newman, Georgia. And I had put on some shades because we were out at a yard sale for about 2 or 3 hours at this point. And we got back in the car, and I had forgot I had put on the shades. And I'm in the car, and I'm trying to see some stuff. And I thought I was going blind, and I didn't want to say that to nobody. I was alarmed. And I was like, Lord, am I going blind? And I forgot I had taken off my glasses and put the shades on. Child, that thing was freaking me out for a hot second. Mm. And I didn't want to say that to my sister-in-law, because I didn't want them to think something was wrong with me. But I had to laugh when I realized I just simply forgot that I had those shades on. So that was really, really funny to me. I mean, it was funny. It's funny when I discovered it, but it wasn't funny when I was trying to figure out what was going on, like you with the eye drops.
Yeah.
You just trying to figure out what's going on.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and every time it clear up a little bit, then it, you know, it's time to put the drop back in again. I'm like, that it was interesting. Say knowledge is powerful. And the whole, and I asked the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit just had the lady show me that when I talked to the doctor, she said, oh, yeah. I'm thinking, y'all didn't tell me. You know, that would have been some good news if you'd have told me, but I guess you didn't think about it. But, you know, anyway. All right, ladies, I tell you, God is so good to us. We are in motion. Mothers and daughters out there, the Matriarch Now community, we're in motion with this thing. God is moving. I'm excited, ladies. We're back on track. Things happen for a reason. And sometimes, you know, we don't know what the reason is. But I know when I moved out the way, God started progressing in the way he wanted it to go. So our topic this morning, conversations and conversations we've had this week, and I know we can get emotional about it and we have our feelings about it, but we want to make sure that we just deliver our message in the way that it's going to be, you know, it's going to be emotional to some degree because we are all raised in a certain way and there's a certain amount of respect and things that we were raised to do that we may not see in some of the children today. And as Cynthia and I have talked this week on a couple of topics, one of them this morning I was asking the Holy Spirit, what are we talking about? And, you know, I got it maybe about 20 minutes till 9. And I kept thinking about, it wasn't kind of like the same way that he would say it to me, but it just kept coming in my spirit, Mother, who is the child? The child. And I thought about some things that Cynthia, you and I had talked about, you know, mothers afraid of their children. They don't know. They're not taking the role that they should take in order to parent the child. Who is the child? So that's what we're going to talk about today. And ladies, I'll be right back to pick you up, and we'll have that discussion.
Okay. Okay.
I
thank
know
you.
Ready, Cynthia.
Girl, you don't even know.
That's why I say you got to watch your emotions. One second. Okay, audience. Yeah, it will be kind of an emotional thing because, you know, I'm from the old, and, you know, I knew my mother was the mother. I knew my mother was the parent. Did I like it all the time? No, because she was a parent. Now, Daddy, I had him wrapped around my little finger. I'm an only child, you know, and I was the boy he didn't have. I was the girl mother wanted, and, you know. So I knew how to kind of manipulate them, being an only child. So, you know, but I knew how far to go. I knew what words I could say. I knew what actions I could use, and I knew what energy I could display. See, I had gotten that thing down pat because my mother had rules and regulations. Daddy, he would say, oh, you know, well, why do you want to get on about that? She's telling the truth. So, you know, I could go to Daddy and tell Daddy something, and I would meet Daddy sometimes. I would sit out in the yard and wait for Daddy to come home. When he came home, and he said, hi, Daddy, little girl, and I go running, Daddy, you know, so. And then I start telling my case. Yeah, I plead my case to Daddy before he gets in the house because I knew Mother had another case that she wanted to plead, so what I would do, I would jump ahead of her and playing with Daddy and talking to Daddy, but I was smart enough to know how to inject my thoughts into his head and my case. So he had my case before he went in the house. So when I get in the house and Mother's going to tell Daddy something I did for the day, Daddy already heard my side. But I soon found out who was the mother and who was the parent. That went on for a while. And that even led to disagreements between my mother and my dad. They would disagree and end up arguing about something that I had, and I'm in my room sitting back there, you know, like, mm-hmm, you know, and I started the whole thing. But see, my mother was the type of person, if she said no, it was no. She said yes, it was yes. She wasn't one that was going to change her mind, but she wasn't one that was going to give you an answer quickly. She'll tell you, let me think about it, let me get back with you. Well, I knew I was between yes and no. So I would try to do everything I could to make sure I didn't do anything to make her say no, because if she said no, it was over, game over, turn off the lights, go to bed, put up the popcorns and the hot dogs because there's no game. Played that little game for a while. And finally my mother said to my dad, I always tell people, you can't get between a husband and a wife when they want to come together. I don't know what conversation they had, where they had it. I presume they had bed talk. And all of a sudden, Daddy had switched sides. I learned later, because Mother told me, as I got up, got grown, we talked about it. And she said, she told Daddy, she said, now, you know what? You know what she's doing. And you're playing right into her hand. And then she sits back, waiting on you to defend her. And so that's two against one. And I knew I could get Daddy to do that. So all of a sudden, I pulled this trick again. I'm trying to manipulate my parents to get what I want. And my mother had to show me who's the mother and who's the child. So when I did that, Daddy let me plead my case. Here I was again, pleading my case. And Daddy listened. Daddy said, oh, Daddy's little baby, you know, it's just like he normally does, and everything seems so fine. And I'm thinking, okay, I done got it. I'm plugged in. Daddy goes into the house, and Mother starts talking, and Daddy started agreeing with Mother. And I was, like, taken back. I'm like, what the heck? What? I said, but Daddy, and Daddy said, no, no, that's what your mother said. And that's what it is. I thought my whole world had crashed. I thought my whole world had come down. I thought Daddy deceived me. He was no longer on my side. Now those two done got together. I'm out here by myself. And I'm talking about, you talking about somewhere 6, 7 years old, 8 years old. I was playing this game for a while. And they laid down the rules that if I went to one or the other, it was not going to work well for me. The game was over. And my mother let me know, you are a child. You don't get to make the decision. It's our job to make the decision. Now, when you ask me, say no, and you go to your daddy, try me. Well, I knew what that meant. So now I'm cut off from the past. I can't play my game no more because it was working well for me. But I am so glad today that they came together because they realized what I was doing was actually causing in their relationships. And mothers out there, you see the children causing problems, but you don't do anything. You don't stop them. You see what they're doing. You see one child running havoc over the other children. You see one child trying to make the other ones feel jealous. Mama like me better than she like you. And you say nothing. And you allow one child to become the parent of co-parenting with you. It confuses the other children. Who's my mother? Who's my daddy? Haven't you heard children say, you're not my daddy, little girls, especially to their brothers. You're not my daddy. Tell me what to do. Or to their sister, you can't tell me what to do. You're not my mama. They're trying to say, you are not my mama. I have a mama, and I'm going to listen to her. siblings go through that all the time. And mothers, you listen, but you don't stop them and set them down and let them know. Do not try to tell her what to do. If you have an issue, you come to me. I'm the person that makes the decision. When you do that at an early age, children get it. They get it. I can only imagine if my parents had not come together and I became a teenager playing those games, because I knew, now my mother didn't play. Now I don't care what they say about child abuse today. My mother would have been in prison years ago because she didn't play. She walked right out to that tree and get a switch. I'm telling you, I thought it was a tree limb. And when she finished with you, you realize, okay, I don't need to do that one again. So I would always try to do just enough, but not enough to get her to walk to that tree to get a spanking, because my life, I die a little bit every step she takes toward that tree. And it was a certain tree that she went to, and that thing had that switch that would, it's like a whip. And no matter where you ran, it was going to, it was going to touch you. So I had to change my game plan, and I had to fall in line. Now I got two parents that's together, that's making decisions together. And my dad, he was just the type of person, he didn't never want to say no to me. He never wanted to spank me. That's just not what, that was not who he was. If I wanted it, he was going to get it. But was that good for me? No. And my mother had to tell him, you got to stop it, because what you're doing is raising a monster, and then it's going to be out of control. And then what are we going to do? Because my mother was tight. She probably would take the switch and switch him, because she was determined. You're going to be raised up with manners. You're going to be respectful to people. You're going to treat people like you should be treated. And your word is your bond. There were certain things that she just did not give me. I thought she was too strict. I thought she was different from other parents. I'm like, and I couldn't say, well, so-and-so's mom allowed him to do it. Now, you really want her to go get a switch. You say something to her and tell her, compare her parenting to someone else's parenting. I'm not raising that child. I'm raising you. Now, you, I would be on punishment just to say that, or to ask her to go somewhere and tell her that someone else is going. Their parent told them they could go as a reason to justify why she should tell me I should go. Well, that was a definite no. Game over. Don't even ask again. Going to change. Now, I'm grown. I have a child. And believe it or not, those main principles I brought into my parenting skills. And I think that's why my daughter and I have such a good relationship. Do we disagree? Yes, we do. But how do we disagree? We disagree in order. We disagree. I treat her as a woman that has grown children and a grandson. And she treats me as her mother. We know the fine line. And she knows. I don't even have to say it. If we're disagreeing, Angie would just shut up. She would get in the little girl mode. She just won't say anything else. And then I taper myself, because she realized this is my mother. And I've had motherly roles, and I've played that role with her as a mother. Yes, you're my prayer partner. Yes, we are friends. But there's that line you don't cross, because I'm your mother. And mothers, we have to create that line. We have to have tough love. We have to have situations where our children can define the areas of your relationship. But one thing, that they shouldn't have a question mark about, and that is your role as a mother, your rules and regulations, and who you are and what you stand for and your principles. And they won't cross that if you start with them early. They will understand and they will follow the rules. All right, I'm going to go to Cynthia. I'm not going to take a long time with me here.
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
Anyone on the line that wants to join us, you can just click one and I'll get to you. Go ahead.
Dr. Fletcher, you know, it's so interesting that we were having this conversation. I was talking to a couple of ladies I was with last night, and we talked about, as a matter of fact, they're the ones who's calling in. We talked about this very same subject matter. We touched on the children and how parents are not parenting. Audience, there's three central scriptures as it relates to parenting. God tells us to, in Proverbs 22:6, that we ought to raise up a child in the way they should go. When the child is telling you what to do, they raising you and you ain't raising them. Then there's Ephesians 6:2-4. Father, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instructions of the Lord. And 6:2, honor thy father and thy mother. And let me tell you the order in which these scriptures are in. It's not until mother and dad become a united front in raising children that they will honor their mother and their father. When children play that game of conquer and divide, then the child hates one and loves the other because they think the one that it's the disciplinary, it's the mean person. So when one of the parents go behind the other with back and give in to what they want, they are, like your mama said, creating a monster. And I was very clear. I was very clear with my sons when I was raising them. If I tell you no, don't go to your dad. And if he tell you no, don't come to me. If you want your mom and dad to be happy, stay together. We ain't playing this game. And we used to have family meetings, so everybody was on the same page because I did not play that game. We were very clear on instruction. We were consistent with our instruction. We communicated those instructions. We showed care, but we also showed that we weren't playing this game. And we also created boundaries, and we dared them to cross these boundaries. Because I got real stupid when you cross boundaries. Dr. Fletcher, we shared some of the things that I did with my kids when they tried me. I did not play with my children because I knew I needed them to grow and to become everything that God created them to be. And it takes some creativity in raising children. When they get silly, you get sillier and let them know that you ain't playing with them. And I did all of these things. And because of that, I stand here today and I can say that my children honor me and their father because we had a united front. And that's one of the greatest, unfortunately, problems with the children today. There's no consistency. There's no clarity. There's no structure. And if the parents are divorced or separated, the children going from one home to the other, and one rules are in one house, the other rules in another house, so children are confused. It's not even the kids that's the problem. It's the parents. Parents are punks. They letting the children tell them what to do. I had to Baker Act a 15-year-old this week, and that thing broke my heart because I left there, and I was like, could I leave my child in a psychiatric hospital because I haven't created the rules that he needs to follow? And they just want to make him happy. Like, what? Okay, let me know how that's working for you. Thank you for letting me share.
Yeah, it's rough, because I'm a Christian clinical psychologist audience, and to work at Henderson down there in Florida, and I saw so much Baker acting and young people. I was dealing with the youth and teenagers. I last 6 months. It's the pressure of it all. I couldn't sleep because it broke my heart to see. I could see some improvement in our sessions and clarity and understanding. The minute they get back home, I mean, things change. They go right back as if we'd never had those sessions. And it was like pour water on it, but the sun's going to dry it up. It's not going to stay moist until you keep pouring enough water that it saturates. And that's why I could not continue in that field. But I do believe, as a therapist, that mothers are the best therapists there is. They're nurturing love. They're caring, you know, their truth, because children believe their mothers. They just want you to be honest and truthful. See, there's one thing, excuse me, there's one thing about honest and truth. You don't have to try to prove it to anybody. God gave us a built-in mechanism that we can tell when people are lying to us. So your children know when you're lying. They may not say anything, but something don't feel right in their spirit, and they know she's lying or he's lying. But they're children, so they won't say anything. But then from that point on, they're going to start measuring everything you do from the time they figure out that you will lie to them. Hold on 1 second. Deborah?
Wow, I tell you, I'm sitting here and I'm just absorbing, you know, some of the stuff y'all sharing from a parental point of view. And, you know, I don't have that as far as me being other. But I do have some observations that I've made being an auntie, being a godmama, and some of the things, and a daughter, and some of the things that I observe is that there's so many components in a relationship that sometimes it's out of sync. The equilibrium is off because maybe the parent is focusing more on the economic part of bringing in the bacon because she's a single parent, just for those that are, and she's trying to work two jobs to provide because one ain't going to cut it. You got 3 miles of feed, you got a car note, you got insurance, you got rent, you got lights, you got water, you got grocery, you got insurance, you got gas, you got all that other stuff that comes in as a bill, and you're not bringing it in. So you're working extra hours just to meet the economic necessities of a house. And so if you're doing part-time in a whole job, part-time in a half or two parts or whatever, it's exhausting, first of all, to work. It's exhausting, first of all, to deal with people. And because most of our jobs, we deal with people, and it could be challenging. And then when I come home, just say I'm coming home to a house and I done dealt with all kind of spirits all day, I don't want to hear nothing. You go in there with your pacifier, your TV. You go in there with your pacifier, your game. You go in there with your pacifier, your games. You go in there with your pacifier, your phone, and you leave me alone. So there goes the social, there goes the relationship, there goes the teaching. All we doing economically is providing. So there's a gap in raising. There's a gap in providing the social and life skills that needs to be incorporated in that child-mother relationship. I'm too tired to deal with you. You're too exhausting. So go in there with your brother or your sister, and then you got an older one that's going to act like mama because mama on time out. Or daddy down the block in another home raising somebody else's kid. So I'm just saying that there's times that it's hard. And so I'm looking from the outside looking in,
And I'm seeing where the neglect is. So now you got the computer raising your kids. You got the telephone or whoever on the other end putting their objectives and their ideals and their perception of what the world and what this should be like in that time zone, that age zone, 12 or 15 or even 5, they got phones too. Or they got access to TVs. Go in there. Leave me alone. So now they're being raised by a whole world that ain't been censored. Or authorized to be trustworthy of babysitting my kid. And so the one that gets the most attention has the most impression and has the most influence. And so we suffer from trying to make ends meet and feed the kid and clothe the kid. Now I ain't got no energy to raise the kid, because raising the kid ain't just about feeding them. It's just you get a meal and you go. No, I know some kids that only come out their room when it's time to eat. Ain't no how a school let me see the school work. Ain't no checking your behavior because the neighbor called me, because the neighbor ain't calling me no more, because we don't want no neighbors in our business telling us about our kids. We don't want them telling us that they was around the corner with their pants way down to the back, or the girl was hugging a boy and she 10 and they around there holding her. You know, we don't want neighbors in our business no more. So now you even got that help a village help raise a child, because you don't want nobody in your business. And better yet, the kids are even outside now, because you can't be outside because of the drive-thrus and the drive-bys and the shooting and all. And so they're inside. And somebody's on the YouTube or the Instagram or on the TikTok teaching them how to be. Because I'm too tired. Because I don't work two jobs trying to feed you. You know? And I'm off a little bit on the subject, but I'm just saying from my point of view and what I experienced in my own little family and my own little, you know, and this babysitter is the computer. You go in your room. Now, this is what I tell my nephew. I got more than one, but the one I'm talking about is a younger version. But this one I tell him, I said, you're going to learn. You're going to be raised. You're going to be taught by somebody. Now, you at an age where you can listen to me, you can listen to your mama, you can listen to your daddy, because they got a package deal in that household. There's a father and a mother in that household, and one of my sister's relationship, she's married and been 15 years, and it, you know, so she got a 15. He gets it from both sides, and they don't play in the middle. You know, what your daddy say? Your daddy say no, it's no. You know, but on the other hand, I got one that the daddy ain't there. And that you stay in the room and you tell your mama what you're going to eat, when you're going to eat, what you ain't going to eat. Now, who's the mama, who's the dad? You come out when you come out to get food only. Like, I'm going to live in this room. I got my bathroom. I live in this room. Don't tell me, you know what? No, I don't want to eat that. I want that or I ain't eating. But, nigga, if I'm your mama, you ain't going to eat then. If I'm your mama, but I ain't. But I'm just saying, I'm looking from the outside in, and I see where there's a gap. I see that it's either I go to work and I try to work two jobs or a job and a half, or God forbid, if I only got a half a job, I'm just trying to keep the lights on and keep you fed and keep you sheltered. I don't have time to pour into you, to instill in you what God is calling me to teach you. I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted from fighting with people all day. I'm exhausted from being overworked, doing the three jobs in one, getting one pay on one job. Then I got to go to the next job and deal with them for a half a pay. And I get home, I just don't have it in me to raise you. So you tell them what to do, and they do what they want to do. Now, DCF say, if you hit them, I'm going to come and get you. So it's something that only God, go back to the word. Train up a child the way they should be. When they grow old, they won't depart. So if you got to make time, you make time, because somebody going to teach them. Somebody going to train them. Somebody going to influence them. And it's best that you find time, parents, godparents, aunties, uncles, find time, because somebody going to take that time to put something in their ear. And, go back to school until you can get a better paying job, and you only work one job, or marry a rich man. I'm just saying. A man that's wealthy, I'm just saying. Well, you ain't got to work, but you can stay home and pour into your kids, because if you don't pour into them now, you're going to cry later. You're going to cry later when they call to tell you that they're down in the middle health hospital, or they're going to call and tell you that they incarcerated, or they're going to call and tell you that they at the morgue. They're going to call and tell you something if you don't pour into them and teach them about life, and then what the chances are that they will be subjected to certain things if they get pulled over. They'll be subjected to certain things when they go for a job. They got to know to be prepared for the things that life is going to bring them. And so God is going to hold us responsible. So the best thing I could advise, if I could suggest, put a suggestion, is you better get into the Word, and you better know God and pray, God, Lord, bless me, because it's my will to want to raise the gift that you gave me, and I want to have this gift so it'll be pleasing and acceptable to you. So teach me how to believe and trust in you, that you will provide all my riches, provide all my needs according to your riches. Lord, I need a better job so I can stay home and raise my kids. I need a better job so I can go in there and intercede and see what they're listening to or what they're listening, logging in to. I need to be home so I can be vigilant. I need to be there so I can have conversation. I need to be there so I can have relations. I need to be there so I can teach, so I can listen to them and find out what it is that they're dreaming of and what it is that their concerns are. I need to be there, Lord. So, Lord, help me so I don't have to work two jobs. Increase my territory, Lord. But make sure, the Lord, I'm able to do my tithes and my offering, that I'm not robbing you, that I'm trusting in you, Lord, that you're my everything, that you're everything that I need, that you, I am whatever I need you to be, Lord. I need you to help me get my faith there, because everything reflects to what I do. If I'm not home, it's going to be a gap. There's going to be opportunity for the enemy to come in my house and rearrange my furniture and put stuff in the kids' head and influence them that they will turn against me, and they will be kids that's not so desirable to claim as kids. So, Lord, I'm asking you to give me what I need so I don't have to work so hard, so I could be home to raise the gift, so that I could deposit. So when they need to withdraw in their spirit, withdraw from knowledge, withdraw from skills, that I made a deposit in their life as they get older and as they learn more about things. Lord, help me so I can help the kids be all that you called them to be, that they will be an asset to the community rather than a liability. And so it starts with us seeking God, asking God to help us. Because we see what a gap is. I got to work two jobs. I ain't got time. I'm tired when I get home. They go to gap. Lord, I pray that you give me favor, that I may get a better paying job, that I don't have to work so many hours and be away from my kids. And Lord, give me patience when I'm home to deal with the kids, and help me not provoke them to evil. Help me, Lord, to raise the gift. I'm willing to submit them back to you. I'm willing to surrender my life. I'm willing to confess and believe that you died and rose again. I'm willing, God. And I need you, Lord. I can't raise this gift by myself. Lord, let me let my neighbors be able to call and tell me some stuff. Let me be open-minded to receive information and not be mad because they're telling me my child out the street acting like a donkey. Lord, let open my mind so I be receptive to having godly people come in my life and to tell me, hey, you know, I missed the mark. Can you help me get back on track? And we got to be open. We need help. We need help, Lord. We need help all the way around, because one area affects the equilibrium. It's off balance. Yes, you're doing a good job. You're focusing on necessities. But if you seek God, he says, seek me first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the rest should be added. So when we seek God and the righteousness, the rest will be added. Added that the blessings coming in to help you to do the things you need to do in the house so you can spend that time raising the gift. Thank you. God bless you for letting me share.
Wow. Yeah, this turned into a great conversation today. I tell you, I know mothers and daughters out there, I know they hear it, I know they feel it. And let me just say this, we are not perfect mothers, our daughters. That we are not. We all have grown through the years, through prayer, through mistakes, errors, you know, going back. And many times I've gone back to God and say things like, you know, Lord, I repent. You know, can we start all over again? It's okay. That's why we have Jesus. That's why God gave us the Savior, because he knows we're going to make mistakes. We might be better in one area, but not as good in another area. But just because you might be doing pretty good in parenting, but what else are you missing? Are you bad in your finances? Are you bad in your relationship with your coworkers, your family members? Are you not getting along? Are you causing strife? Are you gossiping? Are you lying, cheating, whatever? You know, what is it that you need to work on and repent and start over with God? Because all those things come together to make a whole. So just because you're good in one thing doesn't mean that you can just throw your head up and your chest out and look down on someone else. Because there's so many other parts to you. There's so many others that we need to work on. And it's only by grace, only by grace, that we've come this far. And if we get a chance to live through this day and he gives us tomorrow, it's only by grace, not that you're so good, not that you just got it going on. But my conversation to mothers now is that no matter where you are, allow yourself to catch up. Repent, and then you can ask God to start all over again. You can start all over again at any given second. God's just waiting on you. That's all you got to do. He loves you so much, he's not even going to look. Once you repent, and the good thing I like about it is that once I repent in my mind, in my heart, in my soul, I see it very clearly. That's completely forgotten. It's off the plate. He's a man that can't lie. So he says, you know, once you repent, I remember it no more. So you have, and when you repent, remember it no more. Just, you know what? That's gone. That's your past. You can't change the past. And the only time you have stress in your life is when you were thinking about the past, what you should have done, didn't do, how somebody treated you. It will bring stressful feelings, your nerves and everything. You just get jittery and you relive, and your subconscious mind just bring the whole show. Even the smell, the taste, the energy, it'll replay the whole thing as if it just happened yesterday or today. The other time you got stressed is when you're trying to figure out what's going to happen tomorrow or this afternoon. You're so busy trying to project and find out what God's business is. He didn't tell you I'm giving you the future. He didn't tell you I'm giving you the past. He said, I'm giving you the present. And when you stay in your place, keep in mind you are a child. I don't care how old you are, you still are a child to God. He is the parent. He is the father, the mother, the son. He is the one that makes the decision for us. We're still children. And he said, unless you come as a child. You know, when I first heard that, I was trying to say, well, should I act like a little child or whatever? But when you think about it, he said, unless you come as a child, you got to go to God and say, you know, Father God, I come, Father, as your child. Because that's all you are. 60 years old, 80, 90, you're still a child. He's still the father. He's the parent. We want to tell God what to do. We are no better than the little children talking to their mother or their father and saying, as Deborah just said, oh, I don't want that to eat. No, I don't want that. I don't even like that. I'm not eating anything if that's all I have. I'm going back in my room. Well, that's the way we act. We can put it on the little babies if we want to. But a lot of times we, well, God, where are you? I've been asking you and you ain't done it yet. Well, when you going to do it? And da 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 da. You come and ask a child talking to your father like that? Shame on you. On all of us. We've all done it. And you better remember who you're talking to. He's your father. His yea is yea and his nay is nay. And if he told you he's going to do it, he's going to do it. And all you got to do is believe that he's going to do it. That's it. You just believe what he said because that's what he's going to do. He's not going to change because you want something done a certain way. You think you can talk to him like you're talking to another child. It's a wonder that any of us still here. I mean, think about it. And I know some people are thinking about it. I can feel it in my spirit. And this is going to change something in your spirit, in your mind. See, once you know better, you have to do better. And right now the Holy Spirit is saying, you are learning knowledge. You have gotten an awareness that tapped into you, and you felt it, parent. And you're acting like you are the parent to God. How dare you do that? And then we wonder why. Cry out. No. You gonna tell me how to do it? So maybe you got the answer to that particular situation, Bessie. You want? Tell me when you need to have something done and ask me why it's not done. You the parent or you the child? Because the child don't have the capabilities to do what the parent is capable of doing, can do. Or we make a mess of it, of course, because we don't have the wisdom and knowledge that God has. We don't know the whole plan of God. We don't know how he has destined this journey out and how our journey is just a fragment of the total journey. We are just branches on the side of the vine. So, think about it. Are you trying to be the parent to God? Your mother and father, earthly mother and father, may have been the ones that he sent you here and under the authority to be reared through. But when you think about it, there's only one Father, the Most High. And how dare we, when to do it, how to do it, and who to do it for. Think about it. Because then it's going to open up a whole nother can of worms for you. All right, we got some last minutes. We are off the air right now. Not off the air, but we are over our time ticket. Did you want to say something before we close?
Yeah, Dr. Fletcher, I just wanted to share with what those five C's I gave. Clarity, be clear in your instructions.
Hold on one second. Audience, I know someone is to click. I noticed that you clicked. Just hold on. I'm going to get to you. Go ahead.
Go ahead and get them.
Okay,
clarity. You got to be clear in your instructions. You got to be consistent, moms. You got to communicate with your children rights and wrongs according to Scripture. You got to care. You got to encourage them and support them, even in their errors. You got to explain what's behind the discipline when you have to discipline them. And lastly, you have to be creative in instilling morals and social responsibility for your children. God is holding you responsible. Thank you for letting me share that.
Amen. Amen. We have a caller here. Good morning, caller. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning.
Who are we speaking to? Hello?
Good morning.
Yes. Who's calling?
This is Dr. Janet Clary from Tallahassee, Florida. And I would just like to say I have truly enjoyed the entire dialogue this morning. So much wisdom coming from you all, and I just wanted to make sure Dr. Oliver invited me, and I have truly enjoyed this dialogue this morning. And thank you all for being on the wall on behalf of mothers and daughters.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's what I'm talking about. Join us anytime, and then come on and have a conversation. The next time, you know, just click in there, and, you know, we all just share what the Lord put on our hearts. And so join us again and just click and let me know, and we'll bring you in. We'd love to hear your perspective on things.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Dr. Clary.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me. You know, it's a lot of times we don't know that we have a lot of things going on in the arena, but I think this is a very, very good conversation. I'm a mother of four daughters, so when you all began to talk, and I'm not my children's friend, I'm their mom. And as my mom used to tell me, she'll knock me so far down in my socks, I think I'm wearing a turtleneck. So I know that my mom meant what she said, you know, and so that's one of the things that as a parent, you know, we got to mean what we say and say what we mean and don't back down from it.
And you know what, Doc, the most scary thing my mother used to say to me, I brought you here and I'll take you out. I'll be like,
oh,
what?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, ladies. All right, that's our show. We're over our time. Thank you, Doctor, for sharing with us. And hold on, I'll be right back.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
All right, ladies, what a great show. Mothers and daughters out there around the world, we'll see you next Saturday at 10 o'clock. Goodbye. Goodbye, ladies. God bless
Bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye. Doctor, for joining us.
I love you guys.
Love you guys.
Love you,
bye, audience. Bye-bye.